Welcome, everybody, to the Undisputed Podcast of the World.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, well, I like it.
Yes, we are back in your ear hole. It is the Saturday before the Royal Rumble. I'm going to start introducing the co-host of this show directly to my left, the one, the only, Chad Showtime Schultz. How's it going?
It's going great, Trebuchet. Pumped to be here. Pumped for tomorrow.
Woo!
The road to WrestleMania starts here. Let's get hyped, boys and girls.
Yes. And sitting directly across from me, the other co-host for this particular episode, Cody Goads. What is going on?
Not much.
Not much?
Just the usual.
Usual computer.
Being present. Got a computer.
And some brackets.
Got some brackets. You know, I got some things going on over here. I'm sure we'll be talking about them.
He's the resident tech head here at the podcast.
That is true.
Indeed.
But
if the show sounds good, thank him for it. If it doesn't, blame him for it, exactly.
Blame me.
The task at hand this week is worst injuries, and I may pass out while we're going through all of these because I am very squeamish.
We were watching some videos before this, and he is already looking a little pale.
I am not feeling so good about this.
I feel like if someone mentions the former U.S. champion, he may just fall over.
That's true. I may just get out of here. Passed out Trebuchet. And that's an angle that we're going to work with here. But we're talking about worst injuries here, guys. Starting with ones like inside the ring. We're just going to jump right into it. Chris Benoit versus Sabu. November to Remember, 1994. I believe it was a botched back body drop is what they were going for.
Yep.
Well, they weren't going for the botch, but it ended up being a botched back body drop. And very unique thing for ECW to do at the time was they slowed it down and showed the injury and focused on it.
That did not happen before this. They said, all right, you know, this thing happened and we're going to show you what happened. And they didn't try to write him out another way and then try to pass it off like it didn't happen. In fact, Chris Benoit got his name the Crippler that day.
Mm-hmm. So it was a very important moment in wrestling history, but it was the damnedest thing. It really changed the game.
ECW was known for doing that with the playing up injuries. They were one of the first. There was the big Pitbull #2 Shane Douglas thing, right?
He took the
Pittsburgh plunge wrong and wound up in the neck brace.
The halo. Yeah,
and Shane Douglas was getting all kinds of heat, you know, making Jerry's Kids jokes and.
Mm-hmm. Didn't Shane actually at one point grab that?
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
shake him to the ground.
Gary got in the ring when he probably shouldn't have, and Shane just took him by the halo and gave him a good shake, and
he got the
ring filled.
People knew he was legitimately hurt, and for Shane to do that, it was just like, whoa.
You know,
like,
for someone that isn't crazy relevant or today, Shane Douglas had some of the most heat in that promotion.
Oh, he definitely did. He definitely did. Like, even think to him throwing down the championship.
The day the line was crossed.
Yeah, all that. But we're not talking about ECW, even though I'm sure we'll revisit it because we're talking about injuries here. It was Extreme Wrestling. Barbed Wire Massacre, we'll talk about that. Born to be Wired, 1997. Sabu versus Terry Funk.
Classic.
Yes. Was this the one where they have to be cut out of the barbed wire at the end?
So it's somehow,
and that's not even where the injury happened, which is the ridiculous thing about this.
It's not where Sabu's injury happened, but the important thing to note about them getting cut out of the wire is the wire was wrapped around Terry Funk's throat.
That is true.
Sabu was badly hurt with that bicep injury, but Terry Funk could have died.
Literally had barbed wire across his throat.
He was being choked by barbed wire that could have easily been Terry Funk's last day.
Yes, this was a very close moment to me passing out watching pro wrestling, just watching these two just massacre each other.
One of my favorites is Sabu did an interview about that match, and you know the injury being that he his bicep just gets torn wide open. Supposedly it was cut so deep that he wasn't bleeding.
Really?
Yeah, it was just the muscle exposed.
Yeah, I believe Fonzie was on the outside of the ring.
Yeah, because he tells Fonzie, he's like, I need to tape my arm up. And Fonzie's like, well, I don't have anything. He's like, go get some tape.
I need 911.
My arm is hanging off right now.
There was some blood involved.
Pretty sure that was the first barbed wire match in America. I think it had been done in Japan before that in the death matches, but I think it was the first time it happened in America.
Yeah, it was gruesome, but I believe both of these guys have done it since.
Yeah, no, there was actually, especially at ECW reunion shows, they've done Terry Funk, Sabu, and then I think Shane Douglas, again, was involved in a triple threat one. TNA recently did a barbed wire match that they couldn't put it on the air.
Yeah,
they had
I
to
saw
show
that.
It on,
it was
they had to show it on Twitch after.
Yeah, I saw that. It was like LAX and I don't
LAX
remember.
LAX and Ohio versus everyone.
Oh, OVE.
Gross. Yeah.
They would fight in a barbed wire massacre match.
Fuck Ohio, by the way.
shots fired.
But yeah, so that was definitely opened that up to the you know, to have those kind of matches in America. And just as gross as Sabu's injury was, I always found it telling that like Terry Funk was in that much danger at the end of it. Where
it
was serious. They had to get wire cutters out here to cut everybody loose.
Guy not to be overlooked when we're speaking about barbed wire, Mick Foley.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had any barbed wire massacre matches per se, but he definitely dabbled with the stuff.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think he did any matches where the ropes were barbed wire, but definitely in those like Japanese
I know
death
in,
matches,
I mean,
he did all
Japan
kinds
days,
of crazy
I'm sure
stuff.
He did. Yeah, I've seen him wrestle on explosives.
Yeah,
just,
McFoley lost his ear.
Lost his ear. Yeah, let's talk about
injury.
That. Vader, he was fighting in Germany,
yeah,
I believe.
In Germany. Yep. Foley goes for the cactus clothesline. The over the top rope. And they didn't.
The ropes
they didn't,
were too
yeah,
tight
they,
or
they,
something?
They didn't. No, they didn't tape them right.
Okay.
Because basically, when you use real ropes the way WWE does, the reason they're blue is that's blue tape on them, and that keeps the strands in.
Okay.
Well, somehow one of the strands of the rope broke out, and Foley and Vader go over the top, catch his ear in there, and roll.
Oh my lord!
They put it on ice for him, but yeah, couldn't reconnect. I wish everybody could see Trebuchet at this moment. He's,
oh my god! Yeah,
he's looking like he's having a hard time. if there's an I Quit match going on in the podcast,
not yet. We'll press on.
Ask him when. Ask him when.
It's just ask him. Ask him.
Yeah, classic. It's one of the. I heard it. I forget where I heard the story, but basically, they were talking about how WWF had like a masseuse that basically worked for them, would like help these guys, you know, after their matches. And he would say that Mick Foley had no bone structure.
He was just
a big blob.
Yeah.
And the thought was like because he had so little bone structure, that's how he could take the crazy bumps he did and not die. Yeah,
that's crazy.
He just was absorbed it all.
Yeah.
But I mean, think about Hell in a Cell. I mean, his nose was smiling. He had a tooth in his nose.
Not through his freaking
that's,
nose.
I'd like to apologize to all of my friends that don't watch wrestling that I've shown that match to just to fuck with.
I have done that so many times.
They're like, hey, you want to see something crazy? Come watch
on the street. You want to see something awesome? Like, yeah. Come here. Get in here, guy.
What's that one thing? What's that one thing in his nose? Oh, that's a tooth.
You have definitely seen it at least four times with me. I guarantee it.
If you haven't seen that match, Chris, I'm repealing your wrestling fan card as
of right
now.
I've seen it.
And to the front.
Good God Almighty, he is broken in half.
Yeah.
That match. He gets thrown off the cell. He gets thrown through it. His kidney was all messed up. I remember that.
Thumbtacks were involved.
Yeah, it was my favorite part of that. Well, there's two parts of that story I really like.
This
one,
video,
the
YouTube. So I clicked the first Google result. And it's like this video is unavailable. I wonder why.
WWE's careful with their copyrights, but the two favorite parts of that story are one. It was Terry Funk's idea to start on top of the cage.
Really,
they wanted to do something to outdo. Mankind, Shawn Michaels, or Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, rather.
Hell in a Cell.
They're like,
set the bar really high.
Yeah, what are we going to do? And Funk goes, why don't you start on top of the cage?
Yeah.
Foley goes, that was the first and last time I listened to Terry Funk. and then Vince McMahon, a notable quote after the match is, McFoley comes back and Vince goes, thank you so much for doing that. I never want to see you ever do that again.
Never do it again. And then they did it again. He fought Triple H.
That was nowhere near.
They definitely played it close to the vest and like restructured the cell and everything
else.
I mean,
do you remember when it was the recent, Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon when they were on top of the cell?
Yeah.
I have never had a... Wrestling has never given me a panic attack before.
I was having really bad anxiety with that too.
I was sitting in my apartment, just every punch, I was just like, ah!
I could feel, I'm like, please don't break. Just please don't break. They're so high up there.
Yeah. When it's not even, they've said a million times before that it's not the bump throwing into the announce table that's the worst. It's the one where they hit the ring, because that ring is so stiff.
Yeah.
You can just see their body give.
That hurt.
Yeah.
But before we get to, I want to talk about one more match with Mick Foley and Vader. It was a WCW match where, I want to say it was like Saturday night. And Vader just kept punching him in the face, like, at one point.
I don't remember this one.
It's on Mick Foley's Best of Mick Foley, one of his DVDs or whatever. It's really gory. I think he ends up breaking Mick's nose at one point in it. Like, it's just, like, he's just, like, literally
Vader,
punched him in the face.
Vader was known,
like,
for working stiff in those days.
Yeah, check that out, everybody.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I don't remember that one.
Yeah. I'm sure I have a copy of it somewhere lying around. But all right, we'll move into another organization. We'll go from ECW to WCW. They have their fair share of injuries. The one that pops right into my head is the Sid Vicious one. It was at the Sin pay-per-view, January 2001. It was almost the end of WCW. And
Sid Vicious broke his leg for two more paychecks.
Yeah, it was just vicious. You can check that out on the WWE Network if you want to. I don't recommend
it.
I do not recommend it at all.
I did not remember it pre this podcast. I looked it up right before this.
Yeah.
I'm good with that sort of thing. I mean, what was my reaction to that video?
It was appropriate. You can feel it. Like, you know what I mean?
If anyone's ever seen that video of Anderson Silva breaking his leg when he shin kicks that guy, it's very similar. Mm.
Like, I every time I see it, I'm checking my leg right now just to make sure it's still okay.
Yeah,
like, I feel for him.
His leg goes in, like, three different directions.
It's so
his
bad.
Foot's one way, his ankle's another, and then, like, lower thigh is one another way.
It was just one of those things where, like, they're stopping the match right now.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
This is not a wrestling spot.
I'm not sure he even kept his leg, to be honest. Like, some people that break their legs like this sometimes don't keep them.
I know. Like, he did. He's still walking around as far as I know.
Yeah, no, he had to cancel a recent indie booking because the Trump's travel ban kept him from going.
Really?
His story.
Okay.
Yeah,
take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, I don't actually. It was an internet meme for a minute where he's like, I have to cancel this booking because Trump's travel ban won't let me get to the event. Like, all right, Sid. Psycho Sid, after all.
Yep.
Another WCW injury. Mm-hmm. Bret Hart's career being ended.
Yeah, that was the other
Goldberg.
Big one that I think. Yes. It was a mule kick, I believe.
Yeah, he used to do those. Yeah, those big strong back kicks.
Mm-hmm.
And
just boom.
If you know Bret Hart's story is to be believed, before the match he goes, "I only want one thing out of you: don't hurt me."
Oh my lord!
He went right in the match, and what did he do?
Hurt him
he
right away.
His career. Yeah,
yes.
concussed him good. They say that the concussion led to the stroke Brett had too, because Brett was driving a motorcycle and had like a stroke and like got into an accident.
Mm.
And I don't know for this for 100% sure, but the theory was that the concussion led to that stroke.
That's a theory. I'm like, it could be true, could be not. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not a doctor by
sure.
any.
Sure, I'm pretty sure it was Brett's side of the story, but I mean, if you want to hear Brett talk about it, there's lots of videos of him talking about it.
I'm sure he'd talk about it today if you really want to.
Yeah, if we could have him on the show, I'm sure he'd talk about Goldberg just long enough to stop talking about Seth Rollins.
Oh, yeah. Shots fired. But one more before we get away from WCW that I particularly remember was Ric Flair. It was one of the, I think it was War Games pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Perfect, he wasn't Mr. Perfect at the time, he called him Kurt Hennig, came out, and Flair's head was in the cage door, and he slammed it in there, and I just saw blood just go everywhere.
I don't remember this one either. That's...
And the Nitro after, they just showed Ric Flair's face, and he just had, like, he looked like Frankenstein. He just had stitches across his forehead.
Yeah, I wonder if he bled hard way on that one, or if he just bladed good, because Ric Flair was never afraid to juice.
That
he,
is a tough, tough he, man right
he
there.
Is, he, I mean, his... His forehead is second only third only to probably Dusty Rhodes
Dusty Rhodes
and Abdullah the Butcher, who
New Jax is pretty
deep. Yeah, New Jax is pretty. Yeah, New Jax is a good
Jerry
one.
Lawler's is pretty bad, too.
Yeah, I guess I haven't gotten a good look at his, but yeah, that's probably fair. He did.
That's pretty much. If you're an 80s wrestler, yeah. Your forehead's not in the best shape. Well, even if you were in the Attitude
I remember my poor mom, when Dusty Rhodes got inducted in the Hall of Fame, she like saw him at the thing, and she's like, what did he do to his forehead? I was there when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
I just want to throw it out there. I was there. I was really drunk.
Oh, I believe
Fox Theater, Detroit, Michigan.
I believe both of those
yes. statements. I found it was the first time I peed in the Fox Theater, and it was in the basement. I was like, oh, this is crazy. At least I think it was.
Were you at a toilet? Or was you just
in your seat?
Like, I could just go down there. They won't mind. You know,
it was the Hall of Fame. I did have the urge to pee my pants a little bit, but I took it where it needed to go.
Shout out to everybody that watches the Hall of Fame every year and cries slowly.
It's very touching.
Every year, I cry.
WrestleMania week is an emotional thing around these parts. That's all I'm saying.
I've already said it, but again, it's coming up. It's get hyped.
The road to WrestleMania begins tomorrow. Yes.
So WWE injuries.
Yeah, you were saying something about Dusty Rhodes before I cut you off. Sorry about that.
My mom had just commented that Dusty Rhodes' forehead was all you know, scarred up, and
yeah.
I guess as a wrestling fan, I just always kind of overlooked that stuff because it didn't.
I noticed it, but I saw them in the ring.
Yeah,
like,
something you notice, being like, oh, that just comes with the business. But my mom, who didn't watch anything in the business, was just like, what did that poor man do to his forehead?
Right, yes.
I'm like, well, you know, tearing yourself up through the Mid-South territory will do that to
mm-hmm.
you.
Man. All right. That's it for WCW for now. Let's jump into one more. I don't know what organization this happened in, but the Rey Mysterio thing.
I want to say AAA.
Was it? It was probably
AAA. Yeah, I'm pretty
sure it was AAA.
Okay. Go ahead and lay this story on us here, Cody Goads.
Okay, so there was this match with, it appears to be maybe a tag team match because there's four people in the ring. Might be a fatal four-way, I don't know. AAA wrestler, El Hijo del Perro Aguayo. Probably pronouncing that
wrongly. That is the whitest way to say it. Can I get that wrestler name with extra mayonnaise?
Oh, man. The salty crackers are just coming out here.
You can't see
it. I don't want to see it. I do not want to see it. I'm going to turn it away.
Put it this way.
Yeah, point it at Showtime, and then you just tell me when it can look.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad, really. Like, I'm sure a lot of stuff you were watching earlier was worse.
He dies.
Well, he dies.
Yeah. It's not any more gruesome than any 619 you've ever seen before. Although, this is a little morbid looking at his face.
Oh, we got suicide in there. Oh, man.
Yeah, no, he... Oh, wow. He's to narrate this, he's sitting up on the second rope, suicide kind of like gives him a nudge, and he just falls onto the first rope. He's clearly gone. Not conscious, maybe even dead at this point.
Yeah,
Trebuchet did not need to see that. Have a drink of water, buddy. We're gonna be okay.
Yeah, we'll get through this together, Trebuchites. It's all right.
But yeah, Rey Mysterio, that man died in the ring that night.
Yes. And then they tried to do a manslaughter charge, like you were saying.
Yeah, they tried to charge him with some stuff, but
before the show, it's very hard to get charged with anything inside.
Especially in America, I don't even know how the laws about that work in Mexico. Probably even harder because Lucha Libre.
It's huge over there.
Is such a big deal. I mean, there are laws regarding the wrestling industry in that country.
He was not dead yet, like in the clip at all. He actually was reported to be in stable
condition.
That's
good.
he was just unconscious?
He was just unconscious, and then he died like at 1 a.m. later that night.
Okay. That's good. I imagine he had a brain hemorrhage or something from that kick.
Whiplash.
Was it?
They got him in a back brace before he died.
Yeah, say that it was because Mysterio's knee brace caught him? I had heard that, and I didn't know whether it was true or not.
Say that on here.
Sure.
Probably.
Well, because Rey Mysterio's knee brace, if you remember when he broke Cody Rhodes' nose that way.
Yeah.
He hit him with a 619 and busted Cody Rhodes' nose.
I believe Rey wears two of them, one on each knee now.
Sure, you know, that makes sense. Because, he's hard times.
Yes, absolutely. But, yeah.
Hard times is when they give you a watch and tell you that a machine has stole your job. That's hard times, baby.
Oh, love me some Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes, rest in peace.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying, like, in the comments, that the 6.9 itself wasn't even the issue. It was something that happened, like, right before, right
after. That's very, very possible.
6.9 is not really that vicious of a move.
No, I would imagine you could take stiffer kicks in wrestling than a 6.9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, so it was. I mean, I guess it worked out okay for Ray. Like, he didn't get in legal trouble, but I'm sure he carries that with him every day.
I know.
I don't envy that.
Ray Mysterio has a lot of stuff to carry. He's got the Eddie thing. It's like, you know, it's not always.
Peas and crackers, or whatever.
Peas and crackers. Okay, apparently we're going with peas and crackers, everybody. Oh my god!
What did you guys get into before I got here today?
That was all him.
What was in that? What was in that sub you ate, Chris?
Don't.
I just been quiet for a really long time, so I can say peas and crackers.
He's bringing the thunder today. The Royal Rumble's tomorrow. Don't hold anything back.
I'm getting ready to be woken, Matt Hardy. That's probably why I'm saying weird shit.
Okay, moving on from peas and crackers, everybody. We're going to
WWE injuries.
Yes, let's go. Let's go with the most recent one, Dean Ambrose.
I'm sorry, everybody.
That was on Monday Night Raw recently. I'm pretty sure it happened when Seth Rollins did a dive.
Because why wouldn't it?
yeah, ask Bret Hart. He'll tell you. He'll tell you exactly whose fault it was. And that, I believe it was a separated shoulder.
Yeah.
Well, then they did a thing backstage where it looked like Joe hurt him.
Yeah, so that's...
Well, I guess it's not even the most recent one because Joe's hurt now, too.
Yeah, so it's actually funny. There's like, an internet thing rolling around where, like, this Royal Rumble is cursed. Like, this year's Royal Rumble.
Yeah, go ahead. Lay it on me.
We had... So, Jason Jordan is banged up. That's why he's been having minimal physical contact recently.
Was he even on Raw 25?
Yeah, he was. Okay.
Was he?
I don't think he was.
I saw Kurt. I didn't see... I don't...
Did...
Huh. Roman was there. I don't know if him and Seth were even there.
I mean, so here's the thing. If he was, it's kind of telling to how the storyline's going that we don't remember him being
exactly.
there. So he's been doing very minimal stuff. I think the hope is that he's going to be ready to go by the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just gotten... So he's a little banged up. Yep. Dean... Hurt. This whole Shield reunion thing has been a giant bust between Roman getting sick and then Dean getting hurt. Having to sub Jason Jordan in, you know, you guys know what I feel about Jason Jordan, right? He's a wait for it, nerd.
Yeah, laying it on him.
But so and then Joe announced himself to be in the Rumble and was like starting something with John Cena. Mm-hmm. Joe got hurt that night.
Yeah.
And then the women's Royal Rumble, you know, Paige.
Yep.
You know,
done for good. Yeah.
Done. Very tragic. So, like, there's just been a lot of, like, injuries flying around, and so it will be interesting, because people have been pushing for a while for, like, off seasons or giving these guys more breaks.
Yeah.
And if this keeps happening, I think they're going to gain some traction in that.
The WWE may become, like, seasonal. Be like, this season, touch these wrestlers. This season, touch these wrestlers. Even if, like,
even if it's not so, like, forward.
Yeah.
But, like, for them to be like, all right, so, Roman, you've been on the circuit 9 months. Take 2 months, like, we're gonna give you a break, or like, even
or
just
go
give
do
you,
diplomatic stuff,
yeah,
you know,
or
like,
even,
from up the WWE,
give you a break, like, from house shows. You're gonna do Raw and you're gonna do pay per views, like,
that's fair.
Or you can even make the pay per view schedule. You have most of the Raw pay per views in one part of the year, most of the SmackDown pay per views the other part of the year, and then ramp it up,
sure,
so you have a full staff there for a few months, and then when the other brand isn't really, you got kind of more B players involved more, but it would still work. I don't think it would be like a bunch of a ratings drop from that. I don't know.
Yeah. I do think, but I think something will come of this, like, guys getting worn out the way they are.
Yeah.
It's hurting their ability to book. But for the third time, WWE injuries.
Yes. Before we move off of Dean Ambrose, he had some battles before he was in the WWE.
He did.
He's like legendary, like, death match.
This is
like,
CZW.
I know you knew what it was.
Jesus. shout out to Danzig out there.
I saw.
Please don't hurt me.
CZW stuff last week when I was looking at the NWA title thing.
They've been defending that there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of the NWA title, I have a plan for that. I will get into that later. Stay tuned, everybody. If I'm not passed out, I will lay my genius plan on all of you.
Will Trebuchet be passed out? Place your bets now.
Yes.
I was telling you about this last week, where Dean Ambrose, when he came into WWE, when he was NXT, they before the Shield, they were kind of pushing this thing where it was going to be him versus Mick.
Oh, really?
Because Dean Ambrose was on Twitter, which he doesn't do anymore.
Yeah.
But he would post things and he would basically tag them with "Thank you, Mick." Where one of them was like, sitting in my WWE medical examination, having to explain, you know, barbed wire scars on my arm and nerve damage. Thanks, Mick.
Yeah.
Where he was basically blaming all the crazy things he had to do to get over in the industry on Mick Foley setting the bar too high.
Yeah.
It's sad we didn't get to see it. In fact, I hope one day we get to, or maybe not with Mick, but
for Mick's sake, I really don't want to.
Sure.
He just had hip surgery.
I don't think it needs to be Mick in the ring, per se, but I would like to see that interaction. Or even just that angle with Dean, where he's like, you know, I did all these dumb things in the WWE or in CZW before this to even get here, and now I know I'm all banged up because it took me this long to get over with the fans, and that anti hardcore stuff that really got over with Mick and ECW.
Oh yeah.
Know,
yeah, that was really cool because he was all like, I can't hack it in the ECW. Take me back, Uncle Eric.
That's
like,
right, yeah.
It was really interesting way to make the ECW fans hate to say that the wrestling that the mainstream is telling you is better, to embrace
if you want
in their face was awesome.
If you want to see, so I've heard Mick Foley accused of his promos being a little too upbeat, a little too pandering. The latter part of his career.
Yeah.
Go back and watch those anti-hardcore ECW promos. Mick Foley is on a whole nother level.
He literally spits on the WCW Tag Team Championship and throws it down.
Yeah.
He ends up getting suspended, I think.
That was a lot of work. Flair was in charge. Ric Flair's issues with him. I'm trying to remember the quote, but something about, like, you know, you give everything for these fans, and, you know, well, I wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire, and he spits it on the belt and throws it.
Yeah. No, it was a really good interview. You could just see it in his eyes, like, you know. And I believe he waited, like, an hour to shoot that, too. So he was just, like, hanging out backstage.
Yeah, the classic, you know, I have a 2-year-old son named Dewey. And I look out in the crowd, and what does a sign say? But Kane Dewey. Why would you fans want? Like, he explains, like, these sick fans are making a joke about him caning his 2-year-old son and how he's sick to death of the ECW fans. And it's anybody who says that pro wrestling can't be art, watch those promos, watch his emotions.
Get back
and,
to me.
And
yes.
Call me back and tell me why you're wrong.
Yes, exactly. We will listen wholeheartedly as to how we are right, because that's what we do.
Exactly.
I believe that is the policy of the show as of forever. So, all right, moving on back to some more WWE worst hits is what I'm going to call this. This is the worst hits of the WWE. Joey Mercury in the Armageddon 2006. And I believe that was a TLC match.
So it was originally supposed to be London and Kendrick versus Regal and Dave Taylor for the tag titles. Teddy Long comes out, you know, doing his dance.
Oh, yeah, I love Teddy Long. Shout out to Teddy Long.
You know, and says, you know, well, because Armageddon is the Christmas pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was always in December, yeah.
And he goes, well, you know, I got a big present for all the fans out there. Holla, holla, holla.
Holla.
We're going to turn this into a Fatal 4-Way match.
Mm-hmm.
And just for fun, it's going to be tables, ladders, and chairs. Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
Our chemistry is good today.
It's pretty good.
I'm liking what we got going.
Rolling pretty good.
But so basically, they bring the tables, ladders, and chairs out, and Regal and Taylor are free to climb. But they also add the newly returned Hardy Boys.
Oh, dun, dun, dun. Delete before all that stuff.
That's right.
I'm making a transcript.
Oh, okay.
tune in tomorrow night, guys.
I will do it tomorrow.
For Chris reading the transcripts.
It'll be good.
And Eminem was also added to the mix. And what we I my eyes are bad and I can't read what you wrote, but I'm sure it's all nonsense.
I'll give you a quick preview. Yeah,
Do not adjust your speakers, everybody. That's really what he said. So they added Eminem and the Hardy Boys to the mix, and basically They Jeff Hardy does the spot with the ladder where basically Matt would hold your face, the two guys' faces over the ladder, and Jeff would, you know, kick it, so basically jump up and kick it in your face.
So okay.
He
like the teeter totter.
Yeah, teeter totter the ladder.
Yeah.
So
Christian blew out his elbow in one of the TLC matches from taking that.
Oh, really? I didn't know that one. I believe it though. That's a pretty crazy spot.
Yeah.
But the idea is that so when you do it, you're supposed to be able to cover your face up in a split second and not get your face crushed.
Right.
Well, Joey didn't do that.
Oh no, this was so bad. It was just I just remember blood everywhere.
So he catches it, immediately rolls out of the ring, and he's holding his face, and you can't really see anything's wrong, but he looks down while holding his face. He puts his head down, and then he puts his head back up, and you can just see when he put his... There's just a pool of blood.
It's just so much blood.
Like someone had gotten shot.
Oh, my God. It's just if an investigative detective was in there, they'd just be like, somebody died.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my Lord.
He takes his hands away from his face, and you can see his eyes are immediately just swollen shut. Like, his face looks like a mask almost.
This was another one of those moments where I wanted to pass out after seeing it. I'm like, why did I put myself through that?
Yeah,
that was a big mistake.
Joey was quoted as saying he felt like his eye, like he had gotten his eyes smashed. Like he thought he,
like
his
he eyes took it in the eye.
Yeah, he thought like he couldn't see.
Well, there's just so much blood in his
eye. Yeah, they immediately carted Joey out. I think he was in the hospital before the match ended.
That's testament to the WWE staff and all the medical people there.
And that was even before they really started to get crazy about the no blood and like doctors everywhere.
Right, like, this was guys still bled at that
and
time.
They still handled this excellently. But yeah, Joey was out for a while. I think that's what's led to Nitro/Morrison kind of getting his singles push.
Yeah.
I think he went to ECW not long after that.
Well, I think he... Didn't he team up with The Miz after that?
No, you're right. He did
team up with The Miz. That was when The Miz became really, like, The Miz to me. That's when I became a huge fan of The Miz.
What were those WWE Network shows called? The ones they just had on the website?
Superstars?
No, it was Miz and Morrison had their own like little five.
The rap sheet?
That was really those were the holes.
Those
hilarious.
Were great. Those were great. It was Morrison and the Miz just shooting.
Yeah,
at
it was
everybody.
Just making fun of they. There were Carlito and Primo, the colognes. They were like butts on their
the
face.
Collins. The Collins. It was so like adolescent humor.
There are three stand-up comedians sitting at this table, and I think we all wish we could write anything that funny.
Yes, it was very like DX-like, and in the adolescence of it, it was just so silly and just so like ridiculous. It was great. Bring it back, the rap sheet. I'd love to see that.
I mean, first I'd like to just see John Morrison come back.
Yeah, they call him Johnny Impact.
He's got so many. Do you remember that scene in Rocky where Rocky gives the he's like, you got too many nicknames, Apollo?
Yeah.
John Morrison has too many nicknames.
Too many nicknames.
He's got too many names.
But I'm glad we got to talk about all that. This one you brought up recently, the Neville one.
Yes.
Go ahead and jump into that.
So Chris Jericho versus Neville. Yes. Actually, Neville's kind of getting a push right now.
Good. He deserves it. He's a really wrestler.
In this story.
Oh, in the story. I thought you meant like now. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that.
He's on the outs right now.
I'm like, I don't watch 205 Live. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's some politics going on there. But at the time, he was kind of really getting a singles push.
Yeah.
With like the heavyweight guys.
Yeah.
I don't think we'd actually established the cruiserweight division back yet.
No, I don't think it was there yet.
But he does something off the top rope. And you can clearly see he didn't land right, and he goes down, and there's something wrong with his ankle, I believe.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho, one of them tries to roll the other one up or something and end the match, and the ref doesn't count the three.
Yeah.
He counts the two and then says that they kicked out when they didn't. Sorry to spoil the business for everybody. Please, Jim Cornette, please don't holler at me for
exposing
the business.
Please don't. We're sorry. We mean nothing but respect.
I love you, Jim. Yes. But they basically kick out. Chris Jericho clearly knows Neville's hurt, and the ref didn't count the pin. And Chris Jericho just grabs the ref, and I think at some point goes like he's hurt or something, but it's not super audible. But what is audible is when Jericho grabs the ref goes, "Don't you fucking touch me." And then disqualifies Jericho
for touching me.
Jericho's like, "Well, if he's not gonna count the pin, I gotta end this match now." So right. I gotta do something that'll end the match.
And you don't want to injure the guy further. So
you can't do anything else to him. There was some heat for a minute, but I think they worked it out quickly backstage. They're like, oh, I didn't see what was going on.
Yeah, in the heat of the moment.
All is
forgiven. Definitely
a heat of the moment situation. I don't think there was any long-lasting heat or any heat that even escaped the night.
Right.
But yeah, it was one of those, you know, really, like, spur of the moment, you know, someone's hurt and we got to quick do something.
Right. Well, I can see it from the official's point of view, too. Like, you're just trying to ref a match and then all of a sudden,
yeah,
like,
if you don't,
really aggressive, but you're like, what the
f-? Yeah, if, like, you don't see that, yeah, that the guy's hurt.
You just think he's selling it really good.
Yeah, you know? No, you don't, like, you don't exactly know. And then, although it is kind of iffy that that Jericho and Neville knew what the ref didn't know. Like, that's not ideal.
Yeah, that's not that normal thing that's going on there, yeah.
But another injury that kind of, like, involves Chris Jericho was Randy Orton versus Brock Lesnar somewhere recently.
Really?
Yeah, I believe it was...
Was that the pay-per-view match?
Yeah, it was the pay-per-view match where basically it was, like, never before Lesnar versus Randy Orton.
And Orton just, like, he gets it bad.
Lesnar tries to commit legal manslaughter in this match.
It's ridiculous, dude. Because before that, he like, slaughtered Cena, I believe, or
yeah,
something like
he put
that.
The, he put the hurt on Cena pretty good, but in this match, at one point, Lesnar smiles at the camera and takes off his gloves.
Yeah.
And from there, basically just sits on top of Randy Orton and just pops him in the skull about six times.
Yeah.
And you can see, this isn't a cut. This is like a gash in his skull.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Randy Orton is just bleeding everywhere.
And the match wasn't even good.
No, it wasn't a good match. And my opinion on Lesnar is that he can put on a good match if you're willing to do all the things that need to be done for a good match. Randy Orton can put on a good match if you do all the things Randy needs to have a good match. But putting them together is kind of because neither of them, I think they both need to be. They both can have great matches, but they both need a little bit of carrying to get to that match.
A little bit.
And neither of them are going to do the carrying. That's at least my take on it.
That's a good way to put
that. But the issue became, so they stopped that match.
Yeah.
WWE's been greatly anti-blood for a while, so to see this happen
is just
crazy. Randy Orton can cuss easily. No question.
Easily. My God.
I mean, if this was a UFC fight, they'd have stopped the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was... Randy Orton wasn't covering up. He was just getting his head beat in.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, Brock Lesnar goes backstage, and Chris Jericho, being kind of a locker room leader, you know, mm-hmm. gets right up in Lesnar's face. What the hell was that?
You're supposed to take care of each other.
Yeah, the unwritten rule is you're supposed to take care of each other. You were not only not taking care of you were trying to hurt him.
Yeah, like, that's not what we're going
apparently for they pretty much they almost came to blows, which Lesnar wasn't too concerned about as a former UFC heavyweight champion wouldn't be.
Yeah.
But the story was that Orton knew it was going to happen and that he was fine with it. But then when you talk to Randy later, he's like, well, I didn't think it was going to go like that. I thought he was going to hit me a few times. I didn't think he was going to try to kill me.
Exactly.
So there was some heat there. But yeah, Orton was off for at least a month after.
Yeah, that was brutal. That was really rough. While we're on the subject of Lesnar, you can't talk about injuries without talking about WrestleMania 19, Brock Lesnar versus Kurt Angle.
The good old falling star press.
Yeah, is that what we're calling it now? Oh, my God.
That's what I'm calling it.
Yeah, splat goes Brock Lesnar on the ring because Angle was down and Lesnar's up on the top rope, going to do a shooting star press, which is unprecedented for a guy that size.
Well, see, I've heard that he used to do it actually quite a bit in OVW.
That's what I heard, too. I never watched OVW,
he was good,
like,
at flying around. He was tag partners with Shelton Benjamin in OVW.
Okay.
And they were both technically sound, but they flew around a lot. I think Benjamin probably did more of the flying.
That makes sense,
But
yeah.
It was always a spectacle to see this big side of beef named Brock Lesnar jumping around
to do that,
but yeah, he goes to that shooting star press and just botches it. And
I thought he was dead the first time I saw it. Like, so, oh my God, it was very similar to the Sabu one in ECW where he just landed on his head.
Yeah, and he lands at a terrible angle, and you can just kind of see him flop down.
Yeah,
Angle was saying that he was pissed when it happened because Angle had a neck injury at the time. He was working.
They were very concerned about Angle getting hurt in this match.
They were basically saying that Angle's going to lose this match and he's going to go have. I don't know if he had surgery or he was just going to rest. Mm. He had a couple neck injuries where various things happened. But basically, it was going to be Lesnar's last match for a minute. Angle's last match for a minute. And Lesnar takes that bump and hurts himself, surprisingly not doing any real damage, but at the moment, it looked like he was done, and Angle said, I was pissed, I thought I was going to have to win that match that night and have to defend the title another time, and I can't, I'm hurt.
Yeah, well, there's a really cool special on WrestleMania 19 in the WrestleMania 20 box set.
Okay.
I believe it's called The Mania of WrestleMania, and they show after the match, Brock just officials around him. He's so unconscious. He's just like, get away from me. Like, because he didn't know where he was.
Yeah,
like,
and that's the thing is those guys, when they get concussed like that or have those problems.
He's a bear. Try to keep Brock Lesnar down.
Mm-hmm. They'll get all kinds of crazy emotions. There was it's not pro wrestling related, but it was Daniel Cormier versus John Jones recently. Mm-hmm. John won the fight, and there's a shot of Cormier after the fight, and he's bawling his eyes out.
Really?
Like he's crying like someone just died.
Really?
And there are two schools of thought there. One, he was really upset, or two, having a concussion can cause you to like respond to emotions really strangely.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon to see a guy who's concussed, freak out and start attacking people.
Yeah.
Or like be just so emotional they can't stop crying.
Exactly. It's very similar to people being blackout drunk.
I'm told it's almost exactly the same.
It's because, I work at a bar, and I've seen it. I'm just like, Jesus Christ. Like, where the fuck did that come from?
Sorry about Thursday night, by the way.
it's cool, Chad. We can still be friends.
Yeah. most people drink till they can't see straight. I just can't see straight. Oh. So, what's the harm?
Oh, man.
I don't want to know what happened on Thursday night.
Oh, you were there.
Yeah, you were
you
there.
You also were that drunk.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Oh, yeah. That whole week I lost. No, I'm kidding.
Kayfabe, Chris. Kayfabe. Come on.
But, moving on from that, another one that's Lesnar related is the Bob Holly one, SmackDown 2002, I believe it's.
Instant karma, I like to call it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Holly decides that Lesnar hasn't paid his dues or is being a jerk or whatever.
Which is common for Bob Holly.
Yeah, like, Bob Holly.
If you've watched Tough Enough, you've seen Bob Holly be a dick to people.
Bob Holly, not the nicest guy in the world. Actually, it's funny. I hear outside of the industry, he actually is really nice.
Really?
I hear he's a pretty approachable guy.
I'm sure if he's training you.
Outside of the context of working for him or working with him in wrestling,
he's cool.
A great guy, but in the ring, he's like a prick.
Fair.
Interesting thought. That's understandable. If the stories I've read are to be believed.
Okay.
But basically, Bob goes, "Oh, you're this big tough guy, huh? You're slamming everybody. What's gonna happen when you try to powerbomb me and I don't let you?" Well, we'll tell you what's gonna happen when he tries to powerbomb you and you don't let you. He's gonna drop you on your head.
Yes, that's exactly what's gonna happen.
Bob Holly got his neck broken. Bob Holly would like to say that Brock Lesnar broke his neck. In my opinion, Bob Holly broke Bob Holly's neck.
That's a fair assessment.
Bob Holly screwed Bob Holly.
Oh man, that's a true Vince McMahon shoot right there. I love it. Old Brett screwed Brett reference. But speaking of really bad injuries, Darren Drozdov, we got to talk about him.
Nothing funny about that one.
No, that's not funny at all. His character was funny. His gimmick was he used to throw up on demand. Even if you watch Beyond the Mat, which I was just gonna mention,
he's gonna puke.
Because that was gonna be his name. His name was gonna be Puke.
Yeah, I think it was for a minute.
Was he? I don't remember him being Puke. I remember Draws. Because he was with the Headbangers.
Yeah, no, Puke was his nickname. He was Draws, but he was in the WWE Attitude, which was a N64 game and a PS1 game.
You loved it. Dreamcast game, too.
Yeah. Oh, was it? Did they make it up? Sure.
Yeah, the graphics were better. That's what I had.
Good old Sega Dreamcast.
Love it. May it rest in peace.
Yeah. he was in that game. That game was kind of tragic because it was the only game he was ever in. And then that game also had Owen Hart in it, which we'll get to in a second.
Yeah.
He was actually dedicated to Owen Hart. He had died before it had finished completion. But yeah, he basically, so it was D'Lo Brown and Draws.
Yep.
I want to say it was a powerbomb.
I thought it was a pile driver.
No, I want to say.
I don't know. I want to say
it was a powerbomb that he slipped.
Okay.
Nope, Stone Cold was a pile driver.
Stone Cold
broke his neck.
We got to talk about that. I didn't even write that down.
I forget who did that.
Owen Hart.
Was it Owen Hart? Sure. Yeah, basically, it's from the story is D'Lo Brown tries to powerbomb
Draws,
and supposedly Draws was wearing really loose fitting clothes,
which was the style at the time. It was the late 90s.
Yeah, especially if he was with Headbangers.
Yeah.
I mean that's what they were doing.
Oh yeah, they definitely were doing that stuff.
But supposedly the loose fitting clothes made it really hard to get a good grip on him.
He may have been wearing a kilt at the time, so
to
try and powerbomb a guy and get a kilt you know what I mean? He slips
and is a quadriplegic almost immediately. He doesn't.
Yeah. Based on what I read on the internet, he is now slowly getting feeling back in his upper body.
Yeah, he's doing better. He's making progress. Do you know if he still works for WWE?
I'm not sure. I thought he was writing for them.
I was fairly certain they gave him lifetime employment and was just trying to find. They were finding things for him to do. Yeah. Back in the mid 2000s, they had him like writing articles on WWE.com.
Yeah, I definitely.
And I'd
know
like
that.
To. I'd like to think that they gave him lifetime employment.
I do too.
It seems like the classy thing to do. Mm. I just haven't seen him do anything in a while. It's not to say that they aren't cutting him.
I don't know. Don't quote me on this. I thought he was at one of the Hall of Fame ceremonies recently or something like that. Like,
I didn't see him. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. But it's also not worth. Maybe even if he's not doing anything, it's not unlike the WWE. We're gonna cut you a check for a few thousand a month just cuts.
Yeah. Because like
they've been good about that.
Yeah, the way they handle that, as far as I know, it's been really good.
Yeah, it was really too bad. His career was just starting, and I hear he was a really great guy.
I hear that too. You know, like he was gonna be an up and comer. Like
they had high hopes for him. He had a good look. I don't love that puke gimmick. I think that was very.
I think they would have got beyond that.
It was only gonna go so far.
I really think they were gonna get beyond that.
Because he was involved in the LOD angle.
He was in the Legion of Doom.
Yeah. He kind of took that story.
That's a crazy thing too, because like Hawk ended up having like a really bad ending.
That was more drugs, that wasn't an injury.
But I remember a spot where one of the LOD fell off the Titan.
You know, like, Hawk basically tried to kill himself. Like that's the angle. He feels like Draz is taking his place in Legion of Doom.
Yeah,
and gets drunk and depressed and tries to kill himself. Like, and I'm pretty anything goes in entertainment, particularly wrestling.
Yeah.
And even I find that to be pretty tactless.
I was scared, oh my god, this is really high.
Anytime.
I remember him going really high up there, and then I think they actually, he fell. Like,
he comes off.
Anytime
they bothered to, like, if a guy had, like, personal issues, like, oh, we're going to make his character, he's got personal issues, it's fun to be. They did the same thing with Scott Hall and WCW. Good old Last Call, Scott Hall, and that.
Yeah, had him tripping when he got in the ring.
At a certain point,
I've never been a Scott Hall fan ever.
But at a certain point, when are you just like encouraging bad behavior and making it funny when it's not?
Right, like, come on, guys, we need to clean that up. But I feel like we're doing a better job now.
Sure, absolutely. No, that would never fly today.
Yeah,
but we talked about Owen Hart.
Might as well get into it. Let's over the edge. Segue into deaths here. Over the Edge, 1999. Probably the most tragic thing that I've experienced in wrestling.
So they don't have footage of that release, like him falling.
I'm sure they have angles of it.
WWE has them. There's a rumor going around that those videotapes exist in the vault, and they say never replicate, never destroy, never release. They're meant to exist in nothing. They're never to be copied, and they're never to be watched, and you're not supposed to destroy them.
That's fair.
I feel like that's what they should do for whatever reason, but they're not to be done anything with.
Because I saw this whole pay-per-view, and after it happened, like, they didn't show the thing at all. Like, it was like, Owen Hart was supposed to come down. They were in the middle of, like, they were setting it up. I think it was a vignette or something. They were showing the Blue Blazer.
Yeah.
And they came back, and they're just shooting Lawler and JR and the fans. He's just like, Jim Ross. It's the first time on wrestling, they broke character. Like, this is serious.
Yeah.
Owen Hart just fell. He came down. From what I understand, he hit the post.
Yeah.
And then he ended up inside the ring and he just died.
Yeah, like, I think he was DOA on that one.
Yeah, that's it was just
for better or worse, they call that Owen voice when the commentators talk like that.
When they go out of character. Very similar to when Benoit died or when
Jerry had his heart attack that time.
Yeah.
They call the term for that is Owen voice.
Okay.
Because it's just reminiscent of them breaking character in
like defense. I said, it was the first time I remember that happening.
Yeah, I don't think it ever happened that way before that, at least as a shoot. Mm-hmm. But one of the more sad things is they kept the show going, which was a controversial decision.
Mm-hmm.
People maintain that's what Owen would have wanted.
Yeah.
I never met the man, but that passes what I know about him.
Everybody says he was like a prankster backstage.
Yeah,
everybody has good stuff to say about him.
He was a class act.
I understand. But and he was an up and comer, you know.
Yeah,
he was a member of the Hart family, Brett's younger brother. Like, him and Brett tore it down at WrestleMania before.
So there's a lot of like politics behind that. But basically, if you go back and watch that pay per view, you'll see guys cutting promos and then halfway through bursting into tears, going, you know, all of them are praying for you, man. Like they can't do their character anymore. They have to.
Are you talking about the Raw after?
No, I'm talking about during Over the Edge.
Oh, okay.
I think, I can't remember. There was a specific one where it happened pretty dramatically. Like, mid-promo, they just, like, they started crying. Where it's like, Owen, I'm praying for you. Like,
yeah,
they couldn't go on. I think it had something to do with the Jeff Jarrett match.
Okay, well, I remember at the Raw after that, Raw is
Owen was like the tribute show.
Yeah, everybody, I remember Deborah's in particular, she said something like, she was talking directly to Owen, she's like, I still keep looking for you, and I can't do it, and she just broke down, even Triple H, broke down.
I actually went back and watched a couple of those recently, the tribute shows.
Yeah.
I don't know why, women sometimes, you know, like to watch like chick flicks that'll make you cry a little bit.
Yeah.
When I want to do that, I watch wrestler tribute videos. But I watched the Eddie Guerrero one and the Benoit one.
Oh yeah.
The one that gets me the worst I guess we're kind of moving on, but when Eddie Guerrero died.
Yeah.
That was the first time wrestling ever made me cry.
Yeah.
It was just so surreal because he was there 1 week on SmackDown, and he was gone on Monday. Like I remember I wasn't super involved in the internet at the time, but I would like sometimes like just troll wrestling bros just looking for stuff to read.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody had like Eddie Guerrero, you know,
tribute
like, things. Yeah, yeah. But I didn't know he died. I wondered.
Like, oh no!
I hadn't read that he died. I just was like,
yeah, this
why
was before
is...
like Twitter or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
No, so I kept seeing these basically just people who had like artwork of Eddie Guerrero. They weren't words.
Yeah.
They're like Eddie Guerrero, and they were just like cool. And I was like, why is everybody doing this?
Yeah.
And I knew Eddie Guerrero was getting like a push at the time.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, maybe people are just kind of getting behind him, and Eddie Guerrero's real great. Mm-hmm. And then Monday opens up, and in loving memory of Eddie Guerrero, and Hurt by Johnny Cash starts, and I just, oh no. He died.
Yeah.
I'm talking about my mom. Hi, mom.
hey, Chad's
she,
mom.
She, she's a great lady. I love her. She comes out and she's like, Chad, why are you crying? I'm like, Eddie Guerrero died. And she's like, she didn't know who that was, but obviously she, you know, was being supportive. It was just like, I didn't realize how much wrestlers meant to me.
Oh, yeah. No.
Until that, I'm getting a little teary-eyed right now just talking. I didn't know how important these people were to me that I'd never met until one of them died.
It's exactly like that. Like, people like feel this way about celebrities. I do that for pro wrestlers. Like,
yeah, no,
like, it's very similar to like when who was it recently? There's some actor died, and so like people are like, oh, you never met him. I'm like, I understand.
Yeah, no,
like,
it's,
there's a connection.
They give you something even though you've never met them. I make it a point when I meet wrestlers. Like, even if I don't, like, I usually don't have anything from the sign, but I like to shake their hand, and I like to say, hey, thank you for doing what you do.
I love just talking to those guys. Yeah.
Like, you're putting your body on the line, and I'm sure you get a lot from it, but, like, at a certain point, you're sacrificing your health in life for something I enjoy, and I want you to know I appreciate
them. I appreciate them. So, three claps for everybody doing their thing. Yes, absolutely.
But the tribute that really got me at the Eddie Guerrero one was the Chris Benoit one, where Chris Benoit just...
That's so surreal too.
Chris Benoit was probably the toughest guy you ever saw.
He was one of the guys I've actually like shook his hand. I have a DVD signed by him.
But
seemed like a cool guy, but
in that video he breaks down and he openly weeps. He's as sad and hurt as you've ever seen a person, and he's talking about how Eddie, you know, saved his life and how he's sad for... And he has to stop talking because he's crying too hard.
Yeah.
Which is already just the saddest thing you've ever seen, especially because it's so out of character for the person he presented as just this tough, cold, you know, SOB. That,
no feelings.
That, yeah, like, they just did whatever.
Yeah.
And then when you look at it through the lens of a year later, it's especially, like, haunting to see him that up. And to hear what he says about... You know, when I needed help, I went to Eddie, and Eddie helped me through these hard times.
Right.
And, like,
and then
Eddie's
gone.
And what happens?
Jeez.
And that the Chris Benoit tribute is super unsettling to watch. I don't even recommend it at a certain point because it's there's a lot of negative emotion there. Admittedly,
it's before a lot of the information came out.
Sure, I'm not on WWE for doing it.
No, nobody should be, as far as I'm concerned.
But to go back and see it is different.
Very haunting. Very haunting.
Especially Vince McMahon's promo in the ring, in that empty arena, because they sent everybody home that day.
Well, I'm curious. Didn't he die like on Raw? Isn't that when the limo exploded?
Yeah, the limo had exploded.
And then he was on ECW
a few weeks back. So then Raw starts.
Yeah.
It's a cold open.
Yeah.
Empty arena. They sent everybody home. And Vince is standing in the ring by himself, and he starts with something to the effect of, "Tonight was supposed to be a continuation of the demise of my character, Vince, you know, Mr. McMahon."
Yeah.
When in reality, Chris Benoit and his wife and his son are dead.
Yes.
He just lays it out like that, and you can see Chris Benoit, or you can see Vince McMahon has been crying. He looks like a ghost.
Yeah.
He can't believe it.
And he's got to deliver the news.
And then the next night on ECW, presenting some things happened we didn't know about, and we're no longer going to mention this.
Yeah.
So it was a crazy, 40, because he misses Night of Champions.
Yeah.
Tribute show on Raw.
Yep.
Never mentioned again after ECW.
Yeah. Roller coaster ride. I remember it very vividly.
The one that got me about the Chris Benoit was CM Punk's interview. Because he talks about how lucky he felt to work with Chris Benoit, and then he talks about how angry he was Sunday night.
Yeah.
Because he didn't show up. He's like, "I was really mad at you, Chris. I was really angry, and now I hear about this and I feel terrible." Like, it was like, CM Punk's kind of like a pretty callous guy, and you don't feel like you get a lot of honest emotion out of him. That felt like, he's really there.
Yeah.
But the one image I can just never get out of my head as a wrestling fan is that when they were doing the tribute bell to Eddie Guerrero, and you can see Chris Benoit right up there in the front in the Eddie Guerrero shirt, and he's just bawling.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they were running buddies for the longest time. They over in Japan, WCW, they came to WWE together.
If there's
a happy ending.
I feel like not only is that not a happy ending with the Eddie Guerrero, but with the Eddie Guerrero thing, Eddie gave so much of himself to the business. He was such a great guy. Everybody loved him. And we mentioned that the show went on when Owen Hart died. And it's something he would have wanted.
Yeah.
And I believe that.
Yeah, I do too.
When Eddie died, I can't put that stamp on the way they handled that situation. Like, the tribute show was beautiful.
It was.
But it should have stopped there. Even giving Rey Mysterio a push to honor Eddie Guerrero, I'm fine with that. That seems fine. Especially because...
Are you okay with them bringing Vicky in?
I would be okay with them bringing Vicky in a manner that didn't feel so expletive.
It was very...
It was hard to watch.
It was very prostituted, is the way I want to put it.
No, they whored it out.
To Chavo, Vicky, and Ray. Like, I that's the way I felt about it. I'm like, it's terrible, but, like, do we have to bring it up every SmackDown?
Yeah, it was so, they did that, and then they had Chavo and Vicky turning on Ray, and then Chavo and Vicky turning on Chris, which is extra cringy now that you, when in retrospect.
Yeah.
But the one that takes the cake is... Randy Orton says in a promo to Rey Mysterio, "You keep looking up to talk to Eddie Guerrero, and he's not up there. Eddie Guerrero's in hell."
Yeah, that was like, what?
Like, I love Edgy and I love shoots, but that was unnecessary. And then Randy Orton drives his lowrider through the back of the Titantron and just destroys his lowrider.
Yeah,
I have great memories of Eddie Guerrero. I think the tribute show they had for him was beautiful. I think Rey Mysterio getting a push after both made sense for a personal and business level.
Yes.
I think everything beyond that was disgusting. Completely and utterly disgusting.
Agreed. Put the trebuchet stamp of approval on that right there. Bam. Yeah.
Showtime has spoken.
Yes. All right. One more death, and then we'll talk into much happier things, everybody. Wrestling death. We got to talk about Bruiser Brody. Very, very...
I don't know about
big this. Wrestler. Like, I believe he was 80s and 90s coming up.
Yeah,
like,
he was big down south. I think he was also pretty big in Mexico.
Yeah, put on great matches.
He was the hardcore. He was the hardcore before hardcore was really a thing.
Yep.
And
He didn't die in the ring, though.
Yeah,
he died.
He died in the showers.
It was a bad like business deal, from what I understand.
The Colognes, who is Carlito's dad? I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, dope.
It was just Carlos Colon.
I think.
Yeah, yeah. He and Bruiser had some kind of falling out, mm-hmm. and I can't remember the name of the guy that killed him, but he got off. This was one of the big... There's a big thing in Mexico with wrestling, especially if you're foreign, that you never want to go to jail wrestling-related in Mexico.
Because it's fucking serious business.
You can't count on that legal system to not fuck you.
Yeah.
And basically, this guy got off scot-free because I'm pretty sure Carlos Colon paid off the cops. Yeah. That's the story.
Pretty much, Bruiser Brody got stabbed backstage and bled out. Stabbed, it was a really
died,
gruesome.
Stabbed dead in the shower.
Like, not cool.
Yeah, but it was...
It was definitely money-related. I guess, like, maybe he either asked for more money before or after a match or something, or...
Yeah, I've heard Bruiser Brody wasn't the most diplomatic guy in the world.
I hear that, too.
And that was in the era of, you know... I don't know if he ever... He used to do the thing, and a couple other guys would do it, too, where they would... Jim Cornette talks about it sometimes. Where they would, before the show... If they felt like they weren't getting what they deserved or just getting screwed over in some way, they'd grab their bag, get dressed, and walk around the ring. They'd walk out in front of the fans, walk around the ring, walk back out, and go, you can pay me what I want or I can leave. They know I'm here, and if I'm not on the show, they're going to be pissed.
Oh, my God.
What are you going to do?
Oh, my God.
Who else used to do that? I know Brody did it. Ernie Ladd did it a lot.
Okay.
The big cat Ernie Ladd.
Yeah. Jeez. That's crazy. Well, Jeff Jarrett did something similar to that, too, when he dropped the belt to the Intercontinental Championship in China. That's why he's never going to be back in WWE.
He extorted. So he basically, for some reason, they didn't re-sign a contract, and they go, well, I've got your belt, and I'm not going to drop it unless you pay me some exorbitant amount of money.
It's like
$100,000. So he wasn't extorting them on the show, but he was saying, if you want me to come drop this belt, you're going to have to give me a lot of money.
Yeah.
Which
they did.
Was a pretty scummy thing to do, I felt like. Although, to be honest, I don't know what kind of business deal led to them having the belt on him when he
was out on the outside.
Wasn't under contract. And from what I understand about Jeff Jarrett, he wasn't the kind of guy you could trust to do that with. I'm sure there are plenty of guys in the business that are company guys who go, I'm working 2 weeks on a handshake deal and I have the belt. I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm sure there's plenty of guys you can trust to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think Jeff Jarrett is one of those guys.
Based on what I know about Jeff Jarrett.
But it's funny, you know, the invasion, the start of the invasion promo where Vince McMahon buys WCW, he talks about Jeff Jarrett in that promo. You spell your name, double J, well, I think you're going to be F, double R, I, oh, no, it's, no, I lied, it's going to be G-O-O-N-E, gone.
Classic. Well, all right, everybody, that's it for injuries and deaths for right now. We're going to talk into some more fun things. Cody Goats, you got the bracket in front of you. You had the Mixed Match Challenge going on here. Can you update the bracket?
Before we start that, I know I had said I didn't think the Mixed Match Challenge was going to be on the WWE Network.
It is.
I lied.
It is. It's on there.
It is on the WWE Network. So if you're not watching it on Facebook, because whatever reason, go watch it on the WWE Network.
It's good.
And I apologize for being wrong.
That's cool.
So
I've never been wrong. I hope to never be.
I mean, you say that, but like, has anyone seen his hair lately?
What's wrong with that? It's a typical white guy with dreadlocks here. Like,
yeah, no, nothing weird about that at all.
Not at all. I'm just going to forget shit all over.
Okay, we have a 7-way tie for first.
Woo! Good job, everybody!
7-way tie. Who's not tied for first?
My
Let's
mom,
start with
D, is in 8th place.
Oh.
And we're not got one right
we're
yet.
We're doing this in her house, too.
Yep.
She's a saint, even if she's bad at predictions.
She's a saint-y.
Baylor and Banks won week one. I don't know if you guys brought it up.
It's Baylor,
Baylor,
but yeah. Baylor.
Here's the issue. I've done this twice now, but I've only done it with the bracket in my face. I feel like... Because brackets are like college basketball based, I want to say Baylor.
I know, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like,
it's like, when I went to Subway recently, I keep saying football instead of footlong meatball marinara.
What?
I keep saying I want a football marinara.
sounds rubbery.
anyway, so, and then this week, Miz and Asuka beat Big E and Carmella.
Yes.
That's where we're at.
That was Asuka. Awesome.
Next week, Strowman and Bliss are up against Sami Zayn and Becky Lynch, and everyone picked Strowman and Bliss. Some people have them going very far.
Yes, but I do have Lynch and Sami Zayn as my fan vote.
Your fan
it
vote?
It is worth noting that...
So does that, Roy.
It is worth noting that Strowman and Bliss are representing Counter's Cure.
Yes, that is true. So that makes them the favorite again.
Yeah, like, that sounds a little jaded, but, like, it's WWE's own charity. Hard to believe they're going to take a loss here.
Yeah. Financially, that would be good helpful idea for them.
Yep.
Is anybody else loving the aesthetic of those two running around together? Strowman and Bliss, just like...
Yeah.
This big 7-foot guy and this 5-foot girl, they're just like... She's just like has to jar her neck all the way up to look at him.
He literally petted her.
Yeah, no, like,
I'm looking forward to the match.
My favorite part, though, is how done with it she is. She's just like... Fuck this shit. I'm done with it. Like,
she looks annoyed all the time.
Yeah, it's like, just so beautiful.
Yes. That was great. The New Day came out with Carmella with mini Money in the Bank. That was really cool.
Yeah.
It reminded me, Money in the Bank, particularly, good time to bring this up. I think there is a decent chance that they will have the Money in the Bank cash and happen during this.
You think so?
Bold.
During the Rude Charlotte match, one of those?
It could happen then, or it could happen after. This is so long, the belt could change hands, and then it could happen later on.
Okay.
That is a bold prediction.
All right, I like it. Happy Rusev Day, everybody.
Happy Rusev Day.
Speaking of that, did you check out the Lana video I linked to you?
Briefly, yeah.
Yes. Lana has just been working her in-ring stuff, taking it down. So kind of a throwback to our show last episode. I personally think Lana's going to be bigger than Rusev when it's all said and done.
I think you're wrong.
I know.
I think you're about to be wrong for the first time.
No, I don't think so.
I think that Lana might be as big as you think she's going to be, but I think Rusev could, over the next 5 or so years.
I don't think they're going to use Rusev right. That's based on what I know from the WWE.
That's my thing. I'm not saying Lana has to crash and burn. She might, but I don't say she
might. But
I don't say she has to. Mm-hmm. I think Rusev is going nowhere but up.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't watch a ton of Total Divas or much at all. But what I
The Bruiser is not here. She'll be here tomorrow get your Total Divas stuff in here. Yes.
But what I have seen of him backstage and just like those things is he's just. It's weird to have like a Joe Everyman in wrestling. He's just
Rusev's your Everyman.
He's just this sarcastic husband who's dragging his wife around and just like he just wants to. He just reminds me so much of the average guy. And he's really, like, if one thing will be the downfall of Rusev, it's that he's too sarcastic for his own good on social media. Mm. He is a schmarmy little shit. Like,
great way to put
it. What was it? Oh, so on Raw 25, Vince took that stunner. Which was not pretty.
Yeah. It's typical Vince, that's fine.
Rusev goes, and the award for worst selling of a stunner goes to and tags Vince McMahon.
Ah, nice. Bravo. Oh. Ballsy tagging.
Yeah,
Vince
no, that's, you're either.
Play with fire. You better hope it's funny. You better hope he laughs. That's all I'm saying.
Icarus may be flying a little too close to the sun on that one.
Because otherwise you're going to end up fired. Yeah. Speaking of fired, Enzo Amore, goodbye. You're fired.
He is Dunzo Amore.
Yes.
Dunzo Amore.
Got accused of...
Thank you. I'll be here all night.
Try the veal, everybody. Tomorrow. But, he's Dunzo. Got accused of sexual assault. Didn't tell anybody about it.
That seems to be the problem, is that had he told WWE when he was supposed to, he'd probably have been suspended for a long time.
Yep.
But if things are clear, if he's cleared, you know, I'm sure he'd be okay in the long run. But the WWE got blindsided by TMZ on the night of Raw 25.
Not good move.
They didn't want to have to be going on damage control on the 25th anniversary of their show.
Correct.
It's also worth noting that I'm sure if it happened to someone else, there'd be some people probably going to bat for him and be like, don't fire him. He doesn't deserve it. No one likes Enzo.
Yeah,
he hit it coming and...
Seems self-induced.
We'll see where this goes. There's a lot of controversy.
He's released a statement claiming all innocence in this thing. He said he's not going to mention
It's like a legal statement, too. It's probably by his lawyer.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say. I'm pretty sure the lawyer wrote it up for him and tweeted that out.
He didn't, you know, I'm going to use my right to remain silent, and you can't teach that.
Right?
it was definitely a legal statement. Thanks, guys. But so this is a really like shady situation, and like there's a lot of rumors going around, and
yeah, like you were telling me earlier, like I like the girl posted something, and
just, so supposedly
I don't know much about
supposedly
it.
Supposedly she's got like videos on YouTube about how like fake pregnancies and stuff, and like I'm not here to call anybody a liar, and I'm not going to. It does seem like she's a hard. She may have a hard time like defending herself because
right. But I have a kind of sketchy believing all victims.
Exactly,
believe all victims.
She's not going to be the. She may have a hard time getting people to believe her, but I'm definitely want to see where this ends up, and I'm not sad to see Enzo go. No. Sounds like he's just kind of a shitty guy in general. Like
needed to clean his act up, and he just never did.
Just didn't do it.
Too many. Three strikes and he's out, essentially.
Yeah, interesting enough, Rich Swann recently got cleared of all charges, I think yesterday.
Did he? Okay.
Really? So we'll see how fast he comes back.
Yeah.
Also a domestic violence situation, yeah. WWE has zero tolerance for,
yep.
Was only suspended, but all charges have been dropped, and that's not to say he's innocent or that he didn't do anything wrong, but I think as far as WWE is concerned, that's about as good as it's going to get.
Yeah.
So we'll
yeah.
see how fast he comes back. I'm sure he'll be back.
I'm predict he'll be back, but not anytime soon. I give it.
Yeah, they might.
Maybe a year.
They might.
Maybe.
Might
by the time he comes back, they might not even. They might have completely changed the idea of cruiserweights.
Sure. It's also worth noting that they're announcing this Tuesday for 205 Live.
New general manager.
New general manager. Yes. And they're going to talk about the title situation.
Yes. Because Enzo had the belt.
Yeah, Enzo. There isn't one for 205 Live.
Oh, okay,
yeah. So
gotcha.
They're going to announce one.
Yeah,
It's Enzo joins the ranks of the few people that have been released while holding a title.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Flair had it and went to WCW, and then Flair, then WWE was her papers to not be able to show it on TV.
Yeah, Flair, Medusa.
Medusa's a big one. She literally dropped the WWE Women's Championship in the trash on Nitro.
Yeah.
A big part of the Monday Night War. They still talk about it to this day. Anybody else?
Currently or more recently, I should say.
Yeah, I don't.
Edge retired with it?
Yeah, that's not a release.
I like
not
that.
A relief. I mean, that's like.
I like that.
The current
like,
situation with Dolph Ziggler. Like, he left.
Relinquished it. Relinquishing
the
whole.
Oh, he formally relinquished it. You're right. Yeah.
Whole other conversation.
He did announce and drop it. That's true.
And it's not like he's. He might be kayfabe gone, but I don't suspect he's actually gone.
I don't think he's actually gone either. He could be back.
In fact, I think he's winning the Royal Rumble.
I'm out. I'll be back.
Trebuchet's leaving again. Oh, boy. How's it going, Chris?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing all right.
All right.
But, I think Enzo put WWE in a real bad spot.
A couple times. Yeah, and they're done. They're done.
He had no friends in the locker room. And then when you put management in that terrible of a spot, you're in trouble. It's worth noting, I saw a picture today.
Mm.
They've taken Enzo's face off the truck.
Oh, okay.
He and Big Cass were on one of the production trucks.
Yeah.
And they've literally, Cass is still there, but the spot between Cass and I think it's Naomi, they've literally peeled off his face.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
They are done.
Sure, Vince McMahon was fuming. I'm just sure.
Yeah, no, I imagine there were a lot of expletives, mostly based around, why are you letting us get blindsided by this?
I'm sure some furniture got smashed, that's all I'm saying.
I would be angry if I was running a company and one of my employees got themselves in a situation like that. I would be angry, and I agree that suspending them until it's solved is the right thing to do.
Yep.
Letting it happen the way he did, firing is completely acceptable.
Completely acceptable.
Yeah, one of the more interesting things is he showed up to Raw that day wearing a shirt that said, "Today is the best day of my life. I can't wait until tomorrow," was on the back.
Hmm.
And people don't know whether that was just a coincidence or he was trying to say something, but it's well regarded that his attitude towards being a decent guy in general, like he wanted to be Floyd Money Mayweather of WWE so bad with a hundredth of the talent he had. Like he wants to be the biggest, baddest guy and do whatever he wants and say whatever he wants and get away with it without actually being any good at it.
And you can't get away with it unless you have something to back it up with.
Yeah. If you wanna know how to do it, check out the guy in this next segment. The Rock, everybody. Big news for the People's Champion. He's getting his own musical. I believe it's named The People's Musical.
Oh, really? I thought it was going to be Rock of Ages.
Oh! Rock you like a hurricane. There's plenty of them. You
can just... Yeah. Come see me Wednesday at Funniest Person in GR. They'll all be that good, I promise.
He will rock you, everybody.
That's right. Oh, man.
But, yeah, The Rock's getting a musical. I think that's fun. Unfortunately, the People's Champ himself is not going to be in it. I understand it's going to be pie-based. And that's the only thing I know about it, but that makes me want to see it.
Why wouldn't it be?
That makes me... I really hope it's based on the WWE The Music Volume 5 song that The Rock
that
performed.
Would be fantastic.
His car breaks down, and it goes on from there.
I hope at some place they play American Pie. Like, the guy who's playing The Rock is like, bye, Miss American Pie.
Have himself a rock concert, if you will.
Oh, my God. Get out of here.
All right.
Well, we have come to the pun portion of the show.
Yes.
And it is punned.
It's pun-believable. Just, all right, everybody. Now to my, the moment you all have been waiting for. My plan for the NWA Championship.
Do tell.
I, Trebuchet, want to start a GoFundMe to buy the NWA Championship. From Magnus, I believe, has it right now.
I think he goes by Nick Aldis or something. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're calling him Magnus.
I want to be the Ted DiBiase for the NWA Championship. Yeah. Back in the day, Ted DiBiase bought the World Wrestling Federation Championship from Andre the Giant, making Andre the Giant the shortest champion in history.
To be fair, I don't believe Ted DiBiase is counted in the official list of champions, though.
Really?
Yeah, so Ted... Really?
That is not cool with Trebuchet.
Because
Andre defended against Hogan at one point?
No, Andre beats Hogan for the title.
Right.
Immediately grabs the belt and goes, I'm selling this belt to the $1 million man. Ha ha ha. And
you're a new champion.
Ted gets the belt, and then Monsoon walks out, takes the belt from Ted. Like, no, this isn't happening.
Well, I am going to do that, and hopefully
correct me if I'm wrong, but I do not believe Ted DiBiase is counted as having a run with a world title. I also believe... Andre Giant has the world's shortest reign.
Yep, that is
so. I think his reign's like at 2 minutes or something.
Yep. I don't think that's going to be beaten unless Magnus takes me up on my offer and sells that bad boy to me because I will give it a nice home.
Less than 2 minutes?
Yeah, I'm willing to defend it. And
I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows how bad I want to wear some championship gold.
But I believe
if you buy that belt, you better watch yourself.
That's fine. That's fine. The 24/7 rule will not be in effect. I guarantee that we're gonna wrestle on my terms, and I guarantee you that I'm not gonna do it unless there's a count out rule available.
Well, just so you know, if you buy that championship, just be ready to go one on one with the blind one.
I will.
Chad Showtime. Because
who doesn't want to see a blind guy fight a white guy with dreadlocks? Who doesn't want to see that? The tickets print themselves.
I mean, or you could just come out the division on Sunday nights usually and see me doing it for free.
Oh.
Bam.
When you want to buy it from Billy Corgan, if he owns it, or are you just trying to buy off a chance?
I'm willing to bribe the right person. Billy Corgan, get back to me. Let me know who I have to buy this thing from, because I think that for Impact Wrestling's sake, you could use the money. I'm just saying. Is he part owner of Impact still? Do we know?
No. He does not own any of Impact.
Okay, well, never mind. But
Anthem Sports owns the majority. Yeah. I think Dixie Carter still has a small amount.
Yeah, she has 5%.
I think they're British. Whoever runs the show in Britain, I think, owns like a small part
of
it.
That makes sense.
Yeah, Billy is out of Impact. I think he used that money to buy the NWA.
Okay.
Which... Like, to be honest, we probably could have pooled our money together and done that 6 months ago.
I had like $8. It
actually has gotten it, the NWA has in the value of the of it at all. I feel like has gone up slightly.
Well, I mean, we're talking about the NWA today, and like 6 months ago, we probably wouldn't have been talking about it. Exactly. At least in the current sense.
Well, we were talking about it.
I was watching the history of the World Heavyweight Championship.
Then I was looking at the territories, what actually happened.
Yeah, if you're going to mention Harley Race, the NWA comes up, but like, no one would be like, hey, today with the NWA title, like, it's sitting in a vault collecting dust somewhere?
I literally had to look it up. Like,
what I find interesting about it is that I don't understand why they... When you know it was merged with the WCW title for so long, right? How it re-split up?
Because
it wasn't really described well. At a certain point, reading about it.
Okay,
here we go.
I've listened to Jim Cornette talk so much. I should only answer this. I believe when at a certain point WCW and the NWA split.
Yeah, WCW came out with their own championship.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of when that was. I think it had something to do when the split with Jim Crockett happened.
Probably right around the time.
Basically,
Nitro started.
Roughly around that time. It probably had something to do with Black Saturday too, when they pulled Crockett off the air and put because they put WWF on and everybody hated that.
I've read about that. Yeah,
sure. My thought is that when they split, when they WCW, I'm pretty sure when Ted Turner bought WCW, that's when that
split happened. Okay.
Because he wasn't buying the NWA. Mm-hmm. For a while, the NWA didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And then they were part of TNA.
It was merged with the TNA crew for a while, and then it split off.
Yeah, the original name for TNA was NWA TNA Impact.
Yep.
I remember hearing that.
I was really excited when I saw that.
Yeah.
Because
the original title, so the X Division title and the tag titles both had the NWA name on them.
Yep.
And the world title at TNA was just the NWA belt.
Yeah,
it was great. NWA champ.
Loved it.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite belts. I was telling you that
before. That's why I want to buy it. I want to give it more prestige than it has.
The old 10 pounds of gold.
I am going to set up that GoFundMe before tomorrow.
Yeah, so currently, NWA, they have a YouTube channel now, and they actually have a documentary series called 10 Pounds of Gold, where the champion
goes around. Tim Storm, and then he lost it to Magnus.
Yep.
But basically, big name indie shows, they're defending the NWA
and
title.
They just had on that channel a number one contendership match at the Impact Zone. No crowd.
Who was that?
It was Tim Storm. Tim Storm and
Was that the Empty Arena match?
Yeah, Empty Arena.
Who else was in it?
I can't think of who the other person was. I watched almost all of it. Oh, I didn't watch all of it.
I feel like such a bad fan for not knowing.
My computer's dead. I can't look it up.
So here's the thing is, so it's almost like a meme right now, this NWA title thing, and then defending it.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the next 5 years, we're gonna look back on this conversation and be like, that was the start of something. Billy Corgan seems hell bent to be involved in the wrestling industry.
I like his passion. I really admire him. If I had a rock band and had all the money he did, I would be doing very similar things. I get it.
Sure. I mean, yeah, he seems not afraid to get
take
hurt out there. He had the problems with Smashing Pumpkins. He dated Courtney Love. He's not afraid to get his hands dirty.
Oh my God.
That's funny.
But seriously though, if he didn't want to be involved in the wrestling industry, he'd have quit after the TNA debacle.
Oh, easily. That is enough to
make any reasonable person go, yeah, I don't need to be in the wrestling industry. That's fine. This is all terrible.
I have a belief that he doesn't shave his head anymore. It fell out after dealing with Dixie Carter. Oh, there you go.
I think so. There's the term for guys like Billy. They call them the money marks.
Yeah.
Where they got a ton of money and they're willing.
Investor.
Yeah, they're willing to be a part of the wrestling industry just because they love wrestling, but they're not involved in wrestling. They're not trained.
They're not gonna make any decisions or anything like that. Really.
So that's kind of how we've seen right now. But I think NWA could be a big thing coming up.
Billy Corgan in Impact, he was coming out and doing stuff.
He was an honor.
Josephus. Couldn't think of his name. Till now. Josephus.
I don't know who that is.
J-O-C-E-P-H. Josephus?
Yeah, I'm not familiar.
Yeah.
I think what will happen is if TNA goes under, not if, when TNA goes under, because they've lost so much of their roster in the past few weeks.
It's so bad.
It hasn't hit TV yet. They lost EC3.
When I was doing research about this, I was looking into it, and it's all these champions, the current champions on Wikipedia were up to date.
Yeah.
And all this stuff happened, and it's not going to air for 3 weeks yet.
Yeah.
Damn. So, a bunch of stuff's changed because
here's the
roster thing.
EC3 is out, and he's actually one of my favorites to debut in the
Rumble.
Yeah.
Yes, make that happen. I hope he gets to be EC3.
Yeah.
His old character. Yeah, his NXT character was lame.
Even if they can't name him EC3, but to keep that character of him, even if they call him Derek Bateman, even if his name is Derek Bateman,
I don't want him to be Derek Bateman again.
But even if he came back and was like, hey, I was this clown on WWE TV, mm-hmm. and now I've gone and earned my fame somewhere. But as long as he's that character,
so he needs to be the arrogant ass that
he
was.
Yeah, he needs to be a jerk.
I want to see that because he's really good at it.
But yeah, they lost EC3. Lashley just left.
That's a big name.
Lashley just left. A couple of the women have left, although their names escape me. Their women's division is such a revolving door. Like, it's hard
to even really bad.
Even keep track.
It used to be really stable, and it's really bad.
Yeah.
So I just feel like Cowboy James Storm is going to end up having all the gold in that freaking
No, James Storm is out, too. James Storm left a minute ago.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, in fact, he's. I don't know if he's going to be in the Rumble, but I'm predicting a Beer Money feud.
Oh!
Yes!
Beer Money! You almost spilled every liquid you have on this table by
the computer. I don't care.
I also sometimes spill liquid when Beer Money's mentioned, but that, neither here nor there. That's a gross thing I just said.
Way to make it weirder. Yeah. But all right, guys, one more thing before we wrap this whole thing up. Vince McMahon was on all kinds of network TV this week, releasing, he's bringing back the new XFL. It's coming back. Extreme Football League, it's in your face. Like, it's not coming out till 2020.
Yeah.
And you can go online and give him ideas on what you want it to be.
I want Grand Rapids, Michigan to have a team. That's what I want.
That's going to happen. That would be we don't have a stadium.
Well, build one.
Just for XFL?
Why not? It worked so well last time. He hate me.
We could. No, that arena is different from a stadium.
Stadium
is a bigger area. Yeah, it's like Grand Valley and Michigan State have stadiums.
Cody Goetz is talking to his mom in the other room right now.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
Cody Goetz's mom.
D. Ambrose.
Thank you for letting us use your house to do this.
Yes, yeah. We really appreciate it.
You were very nice.
Three claps for D, everybody. One, two, three. There you go.
You're too nice to a bunch of wrestling fans who are sitting in here making fools of themselves.
Absolutely.
So it's interesting, and this is going to border on political, but here we go. There's a lot of tension in the NFL right now with the country. Dear Leader has said a lot of things, called a lot of names in the NFL, and I can't confirm whether the ratings drop in the NFL is related to players kneeling and the political correct. I can't confirm whether it is or it is not.
I don't know. Because the game itself is evolving too.
Exactly. So that's the thing. The game is different than it was even 3 years ago, and a lot of people were negative about that. Yeah. And I feel like it's already going down, and then now we can just blame it on a black guy we don't like. Like, I think that's just what's being used.
Yeah. Well, Keith Olbermann tweeted out recently that he hasn't watched the game in like 3 or 4 years, and he's all like, "There's so many stoppages, like with timeouts,
NFL
replays, injuries.
It is hard to watch, and it is, for better or worse, it's not as hard hitting as it was. A lot of people are like, let them play man ball, and I understand why they're not doing it.
I understand,
but those people are like, they're not satisfied with the current product. So I feel like there's going to be this thing where the XFL is going to try to be pandering to a couple of different crowds. We're like, we want it to be... So Vince has already said he wants to be family-friendly.
Yes.
He says...
Not like before.
Exactly, yeah.
It was definitely not that before with the cheerleaders and everything else.
He also said that it was in an interesting statement. They go, hey, could Colin Kaepernick play in the XFL? And he goes, sure, why not? But no one with any criminal records... Vince McMahon has gone on record saying that no one with a criminal record can play in the XFL. Okay. Now, I don't know if that's going to hold up or not, because it seems like it's going to fall flat on its face. That is his current position. Mm. He also, when asked about standing for the anthem, he says, standing for the anthem is a time-honored tradition, and everyone will follow the rules as written. So he didn't say it was going to be a rule, but he said everything.
He's saying, but not saying it. Yeah.
So, Vince McMahon, who's friends with Donald Trump, and I don't know what...
Linda McMahon is in the cabinet.
The cabinet, yeah, I forget.
Small business
secretary.
WWE is what you think of when you think small businesses.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
Yeah, that was what Joe was saying, yeah.
But it's I think Vince probably sees that there's an opening of football fans that are displeased with the NFL product.
Yeah, from a business perspective, it makes sense.
He can fill those voids. Now, mm-hmm.
Well, in the when he released it, one of his big points was that there's like 7 months with no football.
Yeah.
And that he wants to get that. And damned if he does or damned if he doesn't, Vince McMahon wants to own a football league.
I mean, there's only one major sport in the summer. Makes sense. You just start it in May, have it end in... to have the playoffs during preseason in the NFL. I mean, it could work out really good.
Seems like a reasonable approach. So Vince McMahon's always had these things he's wanted to do other than wrestling.
Yep.
He's wanted football. Yep. He's wanted bodybuilding. He's wanted, you know, the whatever they called that, the bodybuilders thing.
Mr. Universe or something.
Vince owned a bodybuilding championship for half a second somewhere in the late 90s.
I believe that based on his muscle and fitness stuff.
I can't remember the name of it, but it was a giant flop. Yeah. He's wanted to make movies. And
studios.
Despite how that's going, he's still funding it.
Yep.
So I don't think this... I personally feel like it's a questionable business decision, but Vince is going to do it because it's what Vince wants to do.
He can, you know?
It's just, it's crazy to think that, like, how old is Vince now? He's got to be pushing 80.
He's
I don't know. He looks pretty...
He's in his
70s. Pretty old on Raw 25.
Compared to the clips from five years before. He didn't age for so long, and he's suddenly rapidly aging.
It's usually what happens. You have a few plateaus.
Shane's doing the same thing. But for so long, Shane looked like he was 26 for 35 years.
Now he's gone gray.
And now he looks... He's not. Really, he doesn't look old, but he looks much older than he did.
He looks like he aged.
I just googled Vince McMahon to look at his age. Before I bring this up, I'll let you know the age. The age is, if I can sift through, 72 only.
72. Only
72. Yeah. He has been accused of sexually assaulting someone in a tanning booth as of today.
Okay, that's actually, that accusation's old.
No!
It happened
like 2009.
Yeah, it happened about 12 years ago. So I don't think anything's gonna happen.
Yeah,
because
I don't think so either.
But the climate in which we live,
yeah,
where
it is changing, everything's being revisited from before.
I saw a post about that today where someone had accused Meltzer of, like, why didn't you talk about this? Like, you obviously weren't reading the Observer 12 years ago because I didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
But it's being re-brought up because of the thing. But it's just interesting to think that a man that old at that age, if I had that much money, so he basically sold $100 million worth of stock.
Yep.
To open this company, I'd sell $100 million worth of stock, keep making a little money off stock, and live on that $100 million and be an old man and enjoy everything.
Yeah, but that's not... Vince McMahon would go crazy if he
he would.
You know, he's a busybody, you know what I mean? Like, that's how he got to the top, was having that work ethic and that go and that drive.
Yeah, I think... So we talked about Hall of Fame last week.
It's very hard for him to let go.
We talked about Hall of Fame last week, and we didn't mention inducting Vince. And I heard someone say, it might have been Meltzer or someone else, that Vince McMahon obviously
he's going in,
he has to.
I assume it's going to be posthumous.
Yes, so that's like, the thing, you know, is they're saying that Vince McMahon will
posthumously.
Vince McMahon will probably refuse to go in until after he dies. Like, the year I
that's
die,
the way I feel
you can put
it.
Me in. Not until, like, I don't want to be.
He doesn't want to be cried over and everything.
Yeah,
like
no, doesn't seem like his thing.
But Vince McMahon could go in just based on his commentating from the 80s.
Yeah, like, I mean...
He was so involved with it, and then just first ballot Hall of Famer, just easy.
I mean, it's his company.
Yeah.
He inducted his father's limo driver.
That's awesome.
Good old James Dudley. That's actually one of the sweeter stories in wrestling.
That's pretty cool.
Vince Sr. goes, what can I ever do for you, James? He goes, when this company has a Hall of Fame, please put me in it.
That's
and
wonderful.
They went the first time they had Hall of Fame. James Dudley went in the Hall of Fame. Three claps for James Dudley.
Yes, loved it. Well, all right, guys. I believe that brings us all the way to final thoughts. Cody Goads.
Well, it's been a pleasure to be on the Royal Rumble pre-show. I can't wait for tomorrow's actual pre-show where I make picks. Got some good ideas. I got my Jeff Hardy. Matt Hardy. I'm wearing my Jeff Hardy shirt now because I said Jeff Hardy. So we have both Hardys present. I got my Matt Hardy ready to go. Interesting.
What is your Matt Hardy for those of us that don't know?
I'm going to be reading some transcripts.
Give us a little bit right now.
Give us a little preview.
We got a minute.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Okay, here we go. For millennia, my soul has wandered through space and time, but not all who wander are lost. I am well-versed in all facets of the multiverse. I have studied at the Library of Alexandria, battled alongside Genghis Khan, danced with Cleopatra, held synopsiums with Plato, and meditated atop the Great Pyramid of Giza. I will eat you, and I will delete you. I will become champion of the entire multiverse. That's just about maybe like 25% of it.
Oh, man!
I am not nearly stone enough for this.
The end.
I'm a white guy with dreadlocks. I still know what the fuck he's talking about.
No, so, I'm like, just expecting you to like freak out when he starts reading.
I don't think we're on the same drugs, me and Matt Hardy.
are you telling me you're not, I'm not on Percocet?
No, sorry, sorry to disappoint everybody out there. All right. Final thought,
Chris. The work part. Let's work ourselves into a shoot here. Your final thoughts, also the work.
Work.
Stuff about the podcast. Listen.
Oh yeah. Undisputedpodcast.com. Check it out.
Go there. Listen. You can put listen, it in your
you
ear.
Can listen there, or you can click on the iTunes link, RSS link. It'll bring you into iTunes. If you have your own little internet tunes, you can listen to it there forever. You'll subscribe automatically.
YouTube
as well.
You can also contact us at Goad.
Yes.
And at Trebuchet LOL.
Damn right. Mm-hmm. Also. At Showtime Schultz.
You can see the Twitters. They're on the side of the website. There's not a whole lot of content on there besides just the episodes, but there are Twitter links. So you
hopefully there'll be a picture of our mean mugs on there by the end of the day.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get that going here, I bet.
Final thoughts, Trebuchet?
I can't wait to be your next NWA champion. I am going to represent the brand with the utmost respect because I love that title. I'm going to set that GoFundMe up. I will continue to be on Twitter talking about how Lana is going to be better than Rusev. I'm going to keep that going for the year of 2018. Hashtag Bullshit. We want Lana. It's our year. Let's do this. I am Trebuchet. Trebuchet out.
My final thoughts. First of all, happy Rusev Day. I don't get me wrong. Lana's great, but it's Rusev Day all the way. Also, I just want everybody to know that I am pumped up. These guys are pumped up. And I hope you're pumped up, too, for the road to WrestleMania. It begins in less than 24 hours. We are on our way to the showcase of the Immortals, the grandest stage of them all, where heroes are born and legends are made. Ladies and gentlemen, the Royal Rumble is tomorrow. Onward and upwards to greatness. Ladies and gentlemen, Showtime has spoken. Have a good night.
Woo!